submitted for your approval. Tonight, we bring you truly one of the most bizarre and unhinged films we've ever covered on this podcast. The subject, Zsuzsa, a musical entertainer who captured the hearts and minds of Brazilian children everywhere in the late 1980s, including the imagination, decades later, of one Ryan Caldwell. But what Mr. Caldwell and his unsuspecting video store co-workers are about to discover, much to their horror, is that children's entertainment in Brazil is a little different than it is in the States. The film is Super Zsuzsa vs. Satan, and it comes to you from the Demented Kids section, located in the deepest, darkest regions of Apocalypse Video.
In the not-too-distant future of the neo-post-apocalypse, a group of movie fans, led by their charismatic but oafish leader Dave, brings the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Daqui a pouco, Super Zsuzsa contra Baixo Astral.
Alto Astral, tudo é lindo. Alto Astral, vivo um sorriso.
A rainha dos baixinhos enfrentando um terrível vilão numa emocionante aventura. Super Zsuzsa contra Baixo Astral. Daqui a pouco, na sessão da tarde.
Okay, I think I'm beginning to see, I'm beginning to understand Ryan's psychosis after watching this film. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by entertainer of the wasteland, known as the King of Children, counter to Zsuzsa's title, Ryan.
Ah, piss.
Dang, stole the best one.
And Mike, if you'll put that Coke down for a minute, I'll introduce you. Michael.
I'm so depressed. Only Zsuzsa can change my mood.
That was my other thing. Zsuzsa. I was like, I'm going to get out of here. So depressed.
We're talking about Super Zsuzsa contra Baixo Astral, or a.k.a. Super Zsuzsa versus Satan, a.k.a. Super Zsuzsa versus the down mood.
You know. What the hell is that?
Just another one of those. I didn't know you spoke Portuguese, Dave.
I'm trying my best. I'm sure I'm pronouncing these words wrong. But I mentioned up top Zsuzsa. Apparently, she is known as... this is a foreign film that we watched.
We're in a real foreign zone right here on the show. We're being really, culture.
Yeah, this is pretty snooty, pretty high art.
Yeah, these last two episodes, yeah.
Well, I was looking at the wiki for this movie and looking a little at Zsuzsa Meneghel. I'm pronouncing her name incorrectly. And she's known in Brazil as the Queen of Children.
Queen of the Little Ones.
Yes. And Ryan, this was your pick.
Explain yourself.
First of all.
Why did we watch this?
Yeah, first of all, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
You don't have to apologize. I didn't have a bad time watching this.
Well, this came.
Apologize, Ryan. I liked this movie.
I was in Bartertown and I missed the screening, but they were playing this movie and at the multiplex, and it was about what was I going to say? Like it was during their Demented Kids series that they were doing.
That tracks.
They're
yes,
playing it. And it was necessarily like demented. Like,
do you remember Do you remember what some of the other movies were for the demented kids?
Like, it was like basically movies for kids, like that are demented kids movies. Basically, is the idea. And so one of them was Clifford, was one of them, which is kind of a mixture. It's both movies for kids and also movies with demented kids. So Clifford, the Martin Short
Clifford's
movie.
Clifford's not a movie for kids, right? This is like about kids.
It's weird. It's kind of for both.
We don't have to talk about Clifford. I'm sorry I brought it up.
I would say it's a movie that they maybe wasn't. They tried to make for kids. I don't know. There's a whole thing with like a framing device they added. It's ridiculous. I'm trying to think what else I played. Oh, they played Hawk Jones, which I saw, which was basically like an 80s. It was made in the 80s, and it was a detective sort of like crime movie with actual kids, like playing all the parts, like cops and robbers.
Like she walked into my office all legs, and it's like a little kid saying it.
Yeah. And like, there's a little kid with legs, you know, coming in. It's weird. It was weird. It was demented, you know, I would say.
Was all on film too, or were they showing like VHSs?
They were like videos and rips and weird DVDs. Or no, I think however they had it, they had to, like, they looked great on the screens, you know.
It's Bartertown, Dave. You know, they do it up right there.
Yeah. And so this is one that I missed, and I was like, I remember seeing clips from it. I'm like, I feel like I gotta see that. Like, I don't know what that is, but I feel like I need to watch that. And so I just kept it in my head and was just like, well, maybe I'll just torture these poor folks, you guys, with this movie. Instead.
So you hadn't seen it before?
I hadn't seen it, but I knew that I needed to see it.
I thought you had seen it before this. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And so then I was just like, what is that? I looked it up, and then I'm like reading this wiki on this woman that said, because I was just taken by the striking person in this stuff. And she has a really cool costume. And I'm like, who the hell is that? It's like, ooh, and maybe that's just me. Oh, pretty lady. But then I'm like,
I mean, she's got like powerful shoulder pads, kind of like a Michael Jackson vibe with her outfit. But then also like the headpiece.
She rides in on essentially what feels like a Pee Wee Herman bike, which is giving off big Ryan energy.
Yeah. So that was like the stuff I saw. It was like the motorcycle and the kids and her dancing and they're painting the wall. And I'm like, what is that? And then I saw like Power Ranger Bulk and Skull and like Rita Repulsa kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay, what is that? And then you see the title and you're like, Jesus, Super Zsuzsa versus Satan, whatever. And you're like, okay. And then, I look up like, who's this lady? And then you look it up. You're like, oh, this is like the best selling artist of all time in the world, basically.
Well, in the world or Brazil?
It's kind of like nuts looking at the numbers where you're like, she's definitely the most, like the biggest, highest net worth female entertainer in Brazil. But then you're kind of like looking at it and you're sort of like she's basically has a whole children's empire of music, basically. And I think it's listed that she may have sold the most children's like albums ever, basically. I'm trying to find the actual numbers.
Yeah, those children's entertainers can like sneak up and be like actually crazy successful, you know, like your Raffies of the world and whatnot.
I was trying to see if I can compare it to Raffy. I was trying to compare like who's like a, you know, North American version of this.
It looks like as of 2025, you know, who knows how long ago that was, but her net worth is $400 million.
Wow.
So she's not a billionaire, but like that's a lot of money. That's like that's pretty insane.
Especially if they're like just like famous in just Brazil. I guess that and also other like Latin.
Brazil's countries. A big country, you know.
Like there's I was looking, I was like, what's her biggest song, basically? And I found it. It's Ilari, I think is how you say it. It's Ilari.
Oh, she did Ilari?
Yeah. Do you know that song?
I'm just kidding.
Well, I'm saying like it's been like translated in like Spanish and stuff. But there's like a million, like you look at like.
Does she sing in like Portuguese?
Portuguese, and then there's a translation one in Spanish and stuff too.
Okay.
So the Spanish one on the Chatify, which is, you know, our streaming service for music, is that the Spanish version is the one that has the most listens, basically.
Makes sense. But yeah, I think there's more Spanish speakers than Portuguese speakers out there.
But like, it's like you watch the stuff, and it's like you're kind of like watching all these videos of like huge crowds and everyone's dancing to Zhuzha, and you're like, what the hell's going on in the rest of the world? But you don't. This is happening. You're kind of like that. It looks like she's like leading armies of people, and she's like wearing like. Like, can I, like, I'll just show you, like, this, like, clip kind of thing. And maybe we can, like, share this stuff on, like, on our Chad social media. But, like, there's this, like, huge crowds, and there's always, like, parades and kids, and she's wearing
everyone's
crazy costumes.
Jumping up and down, side to side. It's basically like someone's watching the Beatles. She even looks like she's dressed in, like, a Sgt. Pepper outfit at one point.
It does look like... She is capable of, like, one day, it's all building up to, like, one day she's going to be like, okay, kids, activate. And yeah, no.
It looks like that. And there's, like, this is her official channel. These all have millions of lit views, all these YouTube videos.
Well, and I don't mean to put her down, but I thought it was funny, like... She's clearly talented, but like when you look at the dance numbers, it's literally just like jumping side to side, hop, hop. You know what I mean? It's not like the most insanely choreographed looking dances I've ever seen, but you would think these people are watching, yeah, like you said, Michael Jackson for the first time.
Yeah, and so I was just kind of like kind of blown away by that because you're just like, there's so much out there that we just don't know. And I was kind of like, this is just like a really famous person. That like I have no context for, and you kind of think like you're a pretty cultured
person.
That's
been around for decades.
Yeah,
basically about as long as you've been alive.
I know. Like this movie was made in, like 1988, so it's just like a year later, you know, and so it's like this person was super famous, and it's really interesting. Like, let me see. During Zhuzha's birth, her father was told that her mother and child were at risk. He opted to save his wife, praying to Our Lady of Graces, promising to name his daughter after the Blessed Virgin Mary if it went well. Like, all these crazy... There's, like, lore about this woman and stuff like that.
That's like... It sounds like you're talking about, like, Kim Jong-un. Like, you know, on the day he was born, 300 birds flew up above.
And, like, you look and, like, and you go on YouTube and you see there's still, like, videos of, like, being made that look, like, really cheesy, really cheaply made, like... Baby Shark-esque kind of videos with her and stuff where she's like on a green screen and she's singing and she's
still like, her like still like her. An, you know, older lady,
yeah, older lady and stuff. And it's like, and so it's just, I was kind of going down a rabbit hole of it, just of like at like what the hell is this. And yeah, something new to know about.
This was,
something new to
this
clog
was
this
first
brain
movie, right?
I think so. It looks like there's other movies, but I think it looks like the first one with like her name, if that makes sense. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I just saw she modeled for Playboy.
Where's that?
she it sounds like
I'm
she did have.
That wasn't the first search index she had, right?
Yeah, it just sounds like she's like had like a wild life. Like, it does sound like she spent some time in the U.S., like a very brief amount of time. Like, yeah, she's got a wild Wikipedia or Chattopedia article. I, you know, maybe I'm going to have to pour myself a cup of coffee and read this whole thing because this is like one of the longest. I've joked in, I can't remember if I've joked in this show or Filmversation, but like you can tell a movie is like, it's funny when you're like watching a movie and you go to like Chattopedia and it's just the synopsis and that's it. Mm-hmm. But like you can tell a movie's like had a real important effect on culture when there's a big ass Wikipedia article for it. And I feel like that applies to Zhuzha. Like, her Wikipedia article is like longer than like I've ever seen for anybody. So yeah. And it's great just like looking at the like key highlights or whatever, you just see like weird stuff. Like, yeah, she's interesting, like interesting figure.
Like, and the Chatterbox, the tagline is, the most anticipated movie for children is also a super movie for you. Like, what does that mean? And
well, because it's preaching about positivity, Ryan. That's
true. Yeah.
Anyone.
Getting out of your, like, stop being depressed, damn it. Basically.
You know, I got news for you guys. War kills.
Oh, wow.
War kills. And orange is the color of positivity. Okay.
Orange is the color of positivity.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into the movie here. Super Zhuja Contra Bayo Astral. I'm sure there's an X in bio. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong.
I think you've said Zhuja different every single time. I'm pretty sure, like, I'm going to go out on a limb here.
There's variants of that in the movie. Zhuja.
No, but, well, they're different characters, Dave.
I know, but it's easy to mix up, especially when the subtitles suck.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to go on a limb here. You know, I'll take the blows if I get this wrong, but I'm pretty sure, for the record, her name is, it's like S-H-U-S-H-A, like Zhuja.
Zhuja.
And then then her dog is Xuxo.
Right, Xuxo.
Xuxo.
Xuxo, vem, Xuxinho, vem me dar beijinho.
Não vou. Não me amole.
Isso, que bicho te mordeu. Nunca te vi assim, hein?
I was telling this to Ryan before we started recording, but every time you heard the dog's name, I couldn't help but think of that Simpsons episode, Treehouse of Horror, on the bus, when Bart gets seated next to Uter, and Uter says, "Would you like some of my Tasty Boy Zhuzhus?" Like, I kept stuck hearing that in my head. Every time that name was given in the name, I was thinking of Uter.
Oh, guten Tag. Would you care for a bite of my Fingerstrasse bar? I also have a bag of marzipan joy.
I was thinking every time watching this that I wanted a Coke, you know, I think.
Oh, man.
I was thinking I wanted cocaine.
Yeah. I was thinking, God, I'm depressed. No,
it really hits in a way, you know.
Well, what's this movie about, Ryan? You've seen it two times. You're
well, no,
one.
I haven't.
No. This is the first time you saw it, Dave.
I didn't see it during the...
Oh, you just saw, like, the preview.
I saw the preview and, like, and, like, imagery of it. Basically.
You just saw it existed and was like, I gotta inflict this on them.
Like, I gotta dig into the store archives.
I think something was going on. I couldn't make it to that.
We should point out, for anyone who can't make it over to Apocalypse Video in Sector 2, this is streaming on YouTube, a.k.a. ChadTube. Mm-hmm. So check it out. You can check it. It's under Super Zhuja Contra Bayo Astral. Just type in Super Zhuja, X-U-X-A, and you should find it.
There's probably, I feel like it's probably one that gets taken down and put up in different ways every, you know, couple years probably. I'm surprised someone's knocking this down. Zhuja herself, all her minions, their kid minions around the world are keeping this from, because there's no, I don't think there's a U.S. DVD or of this. You know, we have some sort of crazy VHS copy in the store, but.
Well, we can't see the propaganda out here, you know. Yeah. So they got to keep that under a tight lid, Brazil.
So.
Mike's just giving me this look.
Well, this is weird because it's funny, the plot of the, and I didn't see this in the movie, but on the wiki says, like, Zhuja, a TV host, gives an interview to the TV film television program, and like, she's giving an interview.
I mean, maybe that was, like, the first dance sequence we see, where she's just kind of like, it's like
her. Reporters come up to her as she's doing this impromptu dance, like, positivity is great, and yeah, rainbows and colors, we're gonna paint over this this graffiti-tagged wall with colors and rainbows.
They're doing the great mission of repainting graffiti on a Shell gas station.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
I'm gonna before we get into like those details, I'm just gonna read this. There's a smaller smaller synopsis. It's how are you saying it? Bestrostral.
Oh, I think that's perfect, Ren.
Yeah, an evil spirit who lives in the sewers and whose mission is to bring unhappiness to the world sees Zhuja on TV asking children to fight for a better world. Threatened by those words, he declares war on her and devises a plan, helped by his allies, Tiketa, I don't know, and Morgiato, he kidnaps Zhuja, her dog, helped by Zhija, a gypsy caterpillar, and Rafa, a rebel teenager. Zhuja goes on a mission to get her dog back and save the world from Byakso Astral.
That's another one of those.
Also known in the movie as the Down Mood.
The Down Mood. Yeah,
or in America, Satan.
Yeah. Or like kind of like weird.
I think it's like Down Mood because they're like in hell, like they're down, or are they like depressed? Like are they like...
Negative emotions, man.
Yeah.
It's Buffy. It's Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's Power Rangers, you know. It's that.
It's like John Wick, you know.
John Wick. You mentioned it's like, Jesus.
The Down... the down mood, or we'll just refer to him Satan in the sewer, he has this TV that apparently could just see everything. He not only just sees like local broadcasts in Brazil, he can see inside Juja's home. You know what I mean? Like, and his minions can seemingly just transport to wherever they want.
Which this makes more sense if it's Satan to me, because like I feel like Satan would have that power.
And I'll give this movie credit. It gets started right away. We get a Pee Wee Herman-like intro where she's just driving through the mountain roads of Brazil, or the seaside roads of Brazil, on her motorbike, just like bobbing and dancing. She's got her car. She's got her puppet dog Juju in like the basket behind her.
Yeah, it looks
Did we mention that the dog is a puppet
that talks?
Yeah.
Do like this dog is like one of the weirdest things about this movie.
It's very weird, the dog.
It's like Triumph the comedy dog is basically the dog.
It's a very, we should say this movie has a very big Pee Wee Herman vibe mixed with like Power Rangers stuff, like Ryan said. So she's driving on a motorcycle. she pulls up next to this gas station and she notices that like the kids are kind of like looking a little low, you know what I mean? There's graffiti on the wall. Like, things are looking a little bad.
The historic Shell gas station has graffiti.
At the Shell gas station, and she reaches into her back pocket as she drives by and throws them a ton of paintbrushes. Then pulls over, and they proceed to have a painting party. They paint up this wall. Even the dog gets in on it. Juju gets on it. He's, like, painting people's shoes. He's an idiot. We'll get into why I dislike Juju and why I think he should have stayed in the down moods hellscape because he's a piece of
shit. Wow.
But,
but basically, she just shows up with Pee Wee Herman-like energy. She's dancing. She's bobbing. Everyone gets into it. It turns into a whole dance number. And as you said, the down mood, or Satan, is watching this on his TV, and he is not having it.
So I there was a moment where I wasn't taking notes on this, and then there were so many things that kept happening that I like my notes start late. And my first note is weird dick caterpillar. So wait.
Are you talking about the hairstyle of the reporter?
No.
I think he's talking about the caterpillar, and specifically there's that one of the dance sequences, they're kind of like doing this like mirror thing where it's very, very phallic.
Yeah.
You mean the scene from Labyrinth?
Yeah. Labyrinth's another one I was thinking of during this. It's very Labyrinth. And do you think they're ripping that off, right?
It's cited in the Wikipedia that this is often viewed as a ripoff of Labyrinth, which came out just 2 years prior.
It is. Yeah, it is.
It's a ripoff of Labyrinth, let's be real.
It is literally like, you know how there's like
dance, like magic, dance.
There was like a lot of like ripoffs of like Star Wars and stuff like that came out, and there's all these like different countries' versions of Star Wars and everything.
I've heard of Turkish Star Wars.
Turkish Star Wars and stuff.
Maybe they felt comfortable ripping off Labyrinth because it wasn't that big of a box office success. It was a bomb. They're like, no one will know.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's not like that movie's gonna get a cult following years later.
So Juju is, though, if you think of Labyrinth, but she's a mixture of both Jennifer Connelly and David Bowie. You know, she's kind of like both of them combined, basically.
Which I think describes Juju well in general.
Yeah, it looks she kind of looks like David Bowie, like the kind of the female side of David Bowie, I think, or something.
But some Michael Jackson in there too. You can't forget the outfits. The outfits are so Michael Jackson to me. It's the shoulder pads.
Yeah.
Maybe some Cyndi Lauper, you know?
Yeah. But she doesn't have like, it's like really like blonde kind of like, what's her name from Xanadu?
Olivia Newton-John?
Olivia Newton-John, yeah.
Yeah, there's some of that in there. I mean, she's Xuxa. She's her own thing, you know?
Yeah. I'm just trying to like make comparisons, you know, for like ourselves or for the, you know.
For the listeners and the waste. They probably all know about Xuxa.
Yeah.
The movie gets going right away. We get this dance number. It's only like 5 minutes or so. The down mood sees this and immediately he's like, we need to stop that shit.
They're too happy.
They're too happy. Like, I've been doing a lot of work getting war going on up there. Like, there is a newscast, which is the most unhinged, crazy
I like that.
I feel like it's pretty funny, actually.
It's probably my favorite
part. Because the reporter is like, there's war everywhere. There's death. His eyes are bulging out. He's like, hey! You know?
He's like doing like, weird
war,
shit.
Death,
like,
depression.
He's like fixing his smile and stuff. Like
It was the scariest thing in the movie. His eyes were looking like they were going to pop out of their sockets.
Yeah.
O mundo inteiro a violência aumenta. Só que aquele que leve graves assassinatos, sequestros e terroristas. E atenção! Estado de emergência! As próximas imagens são impróprias para as crianças, mas nós vamos mostrar assim mesmo.
Alô, produção! PT tá rolando!
Corta! Corta!
And the down mood likes that. But then you got this other crap over here with kids painting on walls or painting over graffiti. Like, we need to put a stop to that.
Singing and dancing and smiling, you know, drinking Cokes.
Yeah. So within the first 10 minutes, the dog is captured. And I got to get into this. I mentioned this before. The dog sucks.
What? What are you talking about,
Dave? The dog is immediately like, does Shusha like those kids more than me? Well, why haven't you fed me?
Isn't that the down mood putting that in?
He's stuck in the down mood.
Well, I think, no, there's a moment where the dog is watching TV, and then there's like hands that go over it, and that's the down mood getting put under the dog, I think. And then the dog changes into like having a down mood, basically.
Yeah,
is that what it? Well, because it seemed as if they were suggesting several times. I mentioned earlier that the down mood's minions can seemingly transport anywhere, and it seems as if it's suggesting that they can only get there when the person they're trying to transport to is experiencing negative emotions.
No, I think they could do whatever they want, whatever serves this script at the time.
With the power of bureaucracy, which we'll get into later.
Oh wow, yeah. This is the thing. The thing that drives me nuts about this movie, it's pretty. The voices that are going on are pretty grating. I think on like it's a lot of
it's
like,
very like, like stereotypical children's entertainment. You know,
yeah.
It's a lot though. It's like for 90 minutes, it's like, oh god, that's like, yeah. Oh, you know,
it's not even 90 minutes. I think it's like 86 or something.
But yeah. I think,
which thankfully, I was thankful for that.
Yeah, it didn't. The thing is, it was also reminding me of the same type of movie as the Barbarella, kind of a little bit, except for the lack of, you know, Shusha didn't really like get down with all the creatures she came across, really, but like Barbarella did.
There's
but,
way less nudity and sex and
but
this.
Like,
although we should say Shusha's underwear is like threatening to just go up her ass at any given moment.
Like, is it?
What?
The shortest short shorts I've
She's
ever seen.
She's just wearing short shorts. Right, it's not there's no like underwear going on. Isn't that? There's
they
no like
so short.
I like the shorts.
I think
so
the
not,
shorts
you know?
Are as short as they can be without going to like to, you know, there's no like they're not booty shorts, right? They're just short shorts.
They're close.
I think she's right on the line. Right on the line of like it's, you know, not too much.
For kind of made sense because as we say, her dance style, I would describe it as primarily cheerleader. Very simplified cheerleader.
Yeah, like, I think maybe what it is too for me is like she's just so not like sexualized at all. Like she's
that's what it felt odd that she was because she's the character otherwise is not sexualized.
I do. I like the shorts. I'm sorry.
And that rainbow top. Woo-wee.
That rainbow top was pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm trying to pull up a picture, actually. But, yeah, so they end up taking that dog. I agree. Dave, I'm sort of with you. I was kind of sick of this damn dog a little bit. Yes. I felt bad. They did some gnarly shit to this dog. It looked like my old, I used to have like a hush puppy kind of thing that looked just like this thing. Like that was like my animal I'd carry around as a little kid. It was like a mini version of this thing.
But, so the dog's captured. Shusha gets home. She doesn't know where the dog is, and she's like, "What's going on?" So she takes a moment to talk and hang out with her dream chair. It's like a peewee chair that she sinks into,
oh,
and the
yeah,
chair is basically like, "Just dream and think about what you want." It's like, okay, I want Shusha.
That chair. Okay, I did say she's not sexualized, and this movie's not like sexy or whatever. Getting into that chair sequence was the most like, what are we doing here? Like the way she's like. Rolling around on it and like, you know,
yeah, it was like
the
cherry
dream.
You know, like, yeah, that was weird.
And the chair basically like lets her like, there's like a Nightmare on Elm Street moment or Poltergeist moment when she like goes into the TV. She's like, oh, you want to see Shusha? Okay, I'll set you on your journey. And she like goes into the TV into like this weird tunnel hallway thing. A music video starts and she's dancing around and suddenly she's on her path. She's on her path to go find Shusha. And she's going to go through several different like tests or I don't know what. It's weird. Like the way it's presented, like she goes upward first. She has to go on this path that she'll end up in the higher ground where she'll talk to a crystal.
Yeah, she like goes to heaven, basically.
She essentially goes to heaven. She's trying to go down, but she goes upward.
You got to go up to go down.
Because the characters that she meets along the way are like, you got to go up before you can go down, essentially.
Yeah, like it's... Yeah, it's very, you know, the Alice in Wonderland kind of thing coming across to different people. Like,
that's... Or the Labyrinth.
Or Labyrinth, yeah.
It's Labyrinth.
The bed she's on, though, it reminded me of, like, those, like, vibrating beds. Like, you put a quarter in and it vibrates. Which I feel like I saw all the time on TV shows, but I've never seen. Have any of you guys ever seen, like, a vibrating bed in real life?
I don't think so.
Like, you saw them in TV shows, right? Like, what happened with that? Was it like Quicksand where it wasn't real?
I guess we just didn't really stay in, like, 70s motels, you know what I mean? Like,
those have probably been phased out by our time.
Why would they have been phased if the vibrating tech was...
They all changed to, like, Super 8s, you know, or something like that, and got a whole...
Why would they have phased out the vibrating bed if people liked them, though? Why, like, there's no new vibrating...
I don't know if anybody liked them. I don't know.
I don't think anybody liked them.
It's like a joke always in those movies that, like, Jesus, this thing, you know, can it stop?
Yeah.
Or it's like a joke that the person is using the vibrating bed.
You know, I'm going to say, I think they were not real. I'm gonna guess it was an invention of the movies and TV, and there was never a vibrating bed.
The Tunnel of Love at a carnival, that's kind of an invention of the movies also.
Like, is it really? I think the vibrating bed, because it doesn't make any, it doesn't seem nice. It doesn't seem like...
Well, it's like you're on top of a lawnmower. Like, there's no precision. It's not precisely, massaging certain muscles. Just the entire frame is shaking.
How funny. I'm going to try.
Imagine, like, being, like, under, like, the floor under the vibrating bed, too. That must be so annoying.
Well, let's talk about the first trial that Zsuzsa has to overcome. The very labyrinthian-esque mirror scene, when it looks as if there's this giant long wall. There's no way. It just goes on forever. How can I get past this? Luckily, there is what is described in the movie as a gypsy caterpillar that comes out and starts talking to her.
Which is a thing in Labyrinth, isn't it? Like,
it's caterpillar? It's like the same scene.
Yeah.
I mean, there's I don't know if he's technically a caterpillar or not, but there is a little worm guy for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in that movie, it's a maze, and this is just a long wall. And she eventually realizes, oh, it's like they're playing with mirrors here. I'll walk around the mirror this side, and then I'll do some cool, you know, fun things where I'm split and I'm dancing. It's a very easy obstacle that she overcomes. She's like, oh, I'll just walk around the mirror.
It's just like a song.
Yeah, it is basically like, how am I going to get over this thing? Like, oh, I'll just walk around it.
She realizes it's just a mirror trick, and she walks around. She sidesteps the mirror. It's like, okay, that was that.
Well, that was easy.
But now I gotta bring this.
I just had to do my little mirror dance thing with my legs and my arms. Like, woo!
It's literally something Homer Simpson would do. Like, oh, look at me! Look, I'm split. I'm done. Woo! So not much of an obstacle here. At this point, the whole movie blurs together. I don't know when
she's on her adventure. Yeah, it's no one knows what's happening in this
thing. If I remember correctly, I think the next trial is like the desert. She's walking through the desert. And I got to hand it to this movie. Like, this is something that's always fun with these kids show type things. It's obviously a small set and they have a backdrop, but they do some clever things here. Like, there's a moment when she's at the sea and it's not obviously it's not water, but it just looks as if it's sort of like specifically colored tarp that they're sort of pulling left and right to imitate ocean waves. And it looks kind of cool. I thought that looked kind of well done.
Yeah, it all kind of has like this sweeted quality to it.
I enjoyed the creativity here.
Yeah, and they're always different, each room kind of thing. You know, the thing is that we kind of skipped over, but these the down mood and his henchmen and stuff are like, it's like the grossest shit ever. Just like there's like crap on these people. These guys, you know,
they look like they're filming in an actual sewer. They look like they've spread actual filth on their faces.
Have we talked about the spaghetti?
Yeah, there's also a kid too.
Remember, that's like the kid. Grossest. The grossest thing is these guys with the spaghetti.
Well, so yeah, we skipped over a part. So in the beginning of the movie, when Zsuzsa is dancing around with the kids, there's one kid in particular that's kind of just like not kind of having it.
Yeah.
His name's Rafi. He's got like this brown, like tattered shirt, and he's a, you know, he's a street rat. Like the down mood sees him on his TV. He's like, oh, he's just. But there's a moment when the down mood's like, I need more minions. My Power Rangers boobs here aren't getting the job done. I need a new minion. So he watches his TV and he sees Rafi doing some.
Who does he? Doesn't he like look at like some people first? And he's yes. like, who could my minion be? Doesn't he like cut to like a politician who's trying to like be like a demagogue or something? And he's like, nah, been there, done that. Like he's like flipping around to like these like evil people, and then he comes across this kid who's like a little troublemaker, and he's like,
who basically
ooh.
Just like. Like pushes someone's like science project on the ground or something. Like that's
right, I feel like the other people he passes over are like way more evil. But he's like, eh, been there, done that. This kid though, I can get my hooks in and really mold and shape him.
And the kid immediately, so they get the kid. Oh well, we should say
like, her bike, doesn't he?
He Rafi steals Zsuzsa's bike, rides around, and then gets chased by the two like minions.
That's when
the
she goes into the TV. It's kind of a cool looking effect too.
Yeah, they're kind of cross cutting. Like, so the moment Zsuzsa goes into the TV and sets out on her adventure, it's cross cutting between that and Rafi getting pursued by the Down Mood's minions, and it's a crazy sequence because they literally like drive a bike through like a Burger King or something.
Yeah,
he's being chased by them, and it's a full Burger King with like 30 people in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of people.
You know, a lot of people in there, like ketchup and mustard spraying all over the place.
This is
like a
hot dog while he's this whole sequence is so frantic. It feels like there's like it. The way it's edited, I feel like we're missing like. If you told me this is like found footage and we're missing half of this sequence and this is what they were able to piece together, I would believe you.
Yeah, there's a he like slides on the counter and like eats like a hot dog as he's like getting he's like sliding.
There's like moments where they're like they're riding the motorcycle over the ketchup and mustard bottles that are squeezing out onto people like whoa, pff, whoa. It's big, you know, we talked about this in Willow. It's big like whoa energy.
Whoa. They chase him out of the Burger King. They corner him in this alley and they take him bound to like this, you know, the sewer, the hell, basically. The kid immediately is like, I don't want to help you. And so they basically, they put him on refrigerator duty.
There's a big Coke
doing
in
what?
There,
I don't know. It's very, with a single Coke inside, it's very strange.
That Coke, it was like surrounded by like trash, basically, you know, moldy trash food.
Did you guys get a sense there was a statement that Coke is bad?
No, I think it was good.
No, I didn't think they were. I thought they were pro Coke.
They had. It looked like they.
Well, it seemed as if they were saying like Coke is like the ultimate temptation. Like, don't drink this. You know what I mean? Like, it was failed. It's this.
I think it was more like this is what you're working towards. Like, look at this beautiful Coca-Cola you can have.
Single Coke.
Yeah, it's like the best thing you can have. You know,
with cane sugar, none of that high fructose corn syrup.
I'm sorry. I need to use the bathroom real quick. I apologize for this. I'll be right back.
All
right, go ahead. So embarrassing.
Well, he's gone. Let's talk about that desert scene that I kind of skipped over. I'm trying to remember what happens in this scene that helps Zsuzsa. Like basically this scene amounts to go that way.
Yeah, like, there's like a bunch of like weird like dune people that they're like planting trees and stuff, and that reminded me of like some puppet stuff, and they're all kind of shitty looking. And the cat, she's about to like kill them or something, or she's about to fight him. And then the caterpillar that goes with her is like, no, those are my friends. They plant trees.
No, they're just planting trees.
Yeah.
I suppose the point of this scene, aside from, go that way, is basically just like, you know, a lot of this movie is, you know, we got to be positive. We're killing the earth. There's a lot of messages in this movie that they shove into it in every scene. Like, one of which being like, we got to protect the earth. Like, we live here, but we're killing it. What's going on?
Yeah. And then that's funny because those like weird puppets just point the direction she goes, and then it's like, oh, go that way.
Oh yes, like okay,
next bye.
Next LSD trip, here we go.
There's no like, it's really like, and then usually what happens in between these scenes is it cuts to like these nasty bad voiced characters.
Oh, we'll have to turn things up. What does he say? We'll have to turn things up to like power level 3.
And then it cuts back and it's a new scene with Zhuzha, you know, kind of thing. It's basically how the whole movie is played out.
And it's almost laid out as if he's like laying these traps for her, even though he's not doing anything. She's just going to from place to place.
I wonder if this is something that played on TV or something. Because I'm wondering, like, it kind of has like. Maybe
act breaks.
Yeah,
commercial breaks.
Yeah, commercial break kind of moments and stuff. And then you're always like popping back in on like the, what's going on? Like almost like they probably would have broke up the scene of like them underground, like in the commercial break or something. You know, it always seems like those are so long.
And just the same scene over and over again. Yeah. Oh, she got by the thing. Well, next time, oh, you boobs. You know that. Or it's just him literally just saying repeatedly, crap, 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 crap.
Droga, droga, eu não consigo mais alcançá-la. Droga, droga, droga.
It's like, I guess it did play in theaters there. That's, yeah. I mean, I'm sure.
Well, and from what I understood, like reading in the Chattopedia, evidently the Brazilian film industry when this movie came out was like not doing well. And this was like a soul hit, kind of.
I mean, it looks like it feels like a movie that could be older than 1988. You know what I mean? Like,
I did have that thought. Like, well, it's kind of like when you watch like foreign films, like oftentimes, obviously, like, you know, there's other countries, like at this time, their film industries weren't as big. They didn't have as much money for special effects. So the special effects in this movie, while this was made in 1988, look like they're 10 years older.
They're about 10 years behind almost a little
bit. Yeah.
Which is interesting, just because you're like, it does feel like from another planet in a weird way, you know, because it's like the aesthetics are very 80s. And then you're like, but this feels like a movie that could have been made in like 1974 or something, you know,
it feels like a movie that I could see it being made in the 90s on CW for sure.
Well, Mike, you were in the bathroom while we were in the desert, but now we're at the ocean. We're at the ocean, and we found the body of this dolphin.
Pink dolphin. This weird.
Did you guys look? Do you know what the pink dolphin is? It's a real thing.
No.
This is an Amazon River dolphin, guys. Look it up. They're weird. Oh, wow. They're wild looking. They're kind of creepy. They're kind of cute, but kind of creepy.
Talk.
But yeah, this is a Brazilian dolphin. This is a cultural difference. They have pink dolphins in Brazil.
Wow. That's cool. Why haven't I seen this on planet Earth? Why hasn't David Attenborough told me about this?
Why hasn't he told me about Zhuzha and her dog Zhuzha?
Anyway, she finds this thing and she gets to the ocean and she doesn't know where to go at this point. She's like, I can't cross that ocean. And then she starts hearing this wailing.
I know,
and it looks like she gets annoyed by it. Like, what is that?
This whole movie just making this noise.
It's that and Zhuzha, Zhuzha. That's the whole
thing. I'm sorry. That's all I'll say while I'm watching this. I'm like, I'm sorry, guys, but it's all this. It's all this.
Zhuzha!
These high pierced noises and stuff and weird creatures.
It's framed so funny too, because obviously they're on this tiny set. She's like, "What is that noise?" And then she walks four steps, like, "Oh, hey, there's an Amazon dolphin here. What the?" And it's caught in a net. All right, I'll push you into the ocean. And then the dolphin's like, "Oh, thanks, Zhuzha. You're just right on my back. I'll take you where you want to go."
Yeah, it's like, I love that. She like rides a dolphin. There's a song with her on the dolphin's back, and it's just, you know
what? I'll say too. How do we feel? I want to pause here real quick while we're going through the movie. How do we feel about the songs?
I liked it, but yeah.
I think her charisma goes a long way, like her energy.
I do, yeah. I think
she
some of the songs,
Riz, I think, you know,
she does. Yeah. She's got it. I see why she's famous. I think some of these songs are pretty bad, but some do work well for me. I'll say the end credits song, I actually really liked and had. I don't know if you watched the whole credits. It has a sick guitar solo. Like a pretty out of nowhere. There's like a pretty rad guitar solo in there. So yeah, there's some good music here for some of it, which
it's kind of tough because again we're watching this subtitled and it's not a good subtitle. It's you know, it almost seems like an automatic sub.
It seemed like a very direct translation with, you know, where you're not like, you know, if you directly translate something into another language, it's sometimes difficult to follow. because they had different grammar and stuff.
Yeah, and oftentimes they don't like fix that for English. So your brain, as I was talking with Ryan about this before we started recording, like there were several instances as I'm reading the subtitles where my brain is like auto-correcting the grammar bits.
Right,
you know,
you get the idea. You get the idea.
And it's kind of, it, unfortunately, like with the music, though, there are times when it's just like, because it's such a direct translation, it's hard to feel the rhythm of it. You can kind of piece together what it means, but it can sometimes hurt the songs, at least for me. You know what I mean? Like, it seems as if often, like I was talking with Ryan about this while you were in the bathroom, but a lot of the songs basically like, all right, what new message can we shove into this like out of nowhere? Like environmentalism, like we got to plant trees, or, you know, like we're killing the earth, but we're living on earth. What are we doing that for? You know, or war kills, you know, just, like every type of message you could put into the movie, they do into every one of these songs, even if there's not really anything that sets that up.
Right.
It just kind of happens. Like, oh, well, we got a new song. What are we going to talk about? I don't know, pollution maybe? Or
remember, there was like a little like Barbie doll of Juju.
Oh my God. And
I have a note about that. What's the deal with the Barbie doll? What is that? Is that like a voodoo doll?
I don't know. It was like hung out with the dog.
I really liked the doll every time. There was a moment where there was one of the gross lackeys is like screaming at the Barbie doll, which I thought was just like a funny little sequence. Like the image of him like screaming at this little, it is like a Barbie doll. Like it's not like, if you haven't seen the movie, it's literally a Barbie doll.
Maybe Juju is a Barbie.
I'm wondering if it like point. Represented like his possible, good self, maybe. Like, I don't know, maybe he attached his good feelings to that. I don't know,
maybe Juju has like a Barbie doll and it was just like, you know, promoting that too, you know.
Well, we're through the ocean, the dolphin drops her off on the other side, and is this the part where she talks to the tree? There's a tree and the turtle, the old lady turtle. It's like, I need knowledge. Talk about, or look into books.
That was nuts. that turtle lady.
She's opening up these books. This tree is like pooping out these books.
Oh,
and when she, every time she opens up a book, letters fall out, like large letters.
I'm looking at my notes, but before that though, when they do she does ride the dolphin, they do like under the sea, there's crabs doing like drums and stuff like that.
Well, and this would predate Little Mermaid.
Oh my God, yeah.
This would predate Little Mermaid by a year.
Yeah.
And so Juju may have ripped off Labyrinth, but it originated under the sea. Yeah. Okay. There's some originality here, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And we should say that Under the Sea scene is filmed. I love it because usually with low production, when they're trying to like do a mock undersea thing, they'll usually put something like a stream of bubbles in front of the you know, in front of the camera or something like that to look like.
Dave, I love like usually when you're doing like an under the sea bit, you get.
Like when you see something that's low budget that's trying to do something,
right? They do the bubbles, you get that bubble sound, like SpongeBob bubble sound effect.
Yeah, but they don't even bother with that. It's just them, like, we're gonna like blow a fan in her hair, and there's like no sense of distortion. Again, this is not, I'm not saying this as a negative, like, this movie really botched this under the sea scene, but it was just funny to me that there was no, like, given the effort they give to the backdrops in the other scenes, it was funny to me that they're like, we'll just paint the background blue, that's fine.
It's one could describe it as chintzy, I think.
Yes. And you could literally feel like if the camera moved just like a little bit, you could just see her like leaning over, like to pretend that she's.
Oh, if the camera panned like 2 feet over, you'd probably just see like four dudes like smoking cigarettes, holding weird wires.
Oh Lord!
Yeah,
but this tree scene is unusual.
Very unusual.
I didn't really understand what the point.
Unlike the rest of the movie.
Unlike the rest of the movie, that was very clear cut, and really A to B to C. But no, this turtle talks to her and basically tells her like, you need to understand words. Like I Like, here, go up into this big tree of knowledge, like get a bunch of books and go find a dictionary at one point she's told to do. I had no idea what was going on. This is very weird. As she's crawling up this tree, she meets these like bird people with like these like, you know, parrot noses.
That's the sexiest part of the movie, probably.
That she begins to kink shame, basically, and they're not doing anything other than making out. She's like, ew. She keeps crawling up. At one point, she sees a guy, a parrot man that's like, ugh, I've done everything. I've seen it all. Okay, keep crawling. It was very strange. And then eventually she gets to the top, and one of the other parrot men's just, you know, like, you gotta basically believe in this very generic thing, like believe in yourself and you can do whatever. She falls out of the tree. And as she's falling, the caterpillar, that the gypsy caterpillar that's been tagging along with her this whole time, is basically just like, you got to believe in yourself. She sprouts wings and she flies to heaven.
Well, she flies out.
No,
yeah,
she goes to hell, doesn't she? She flies out.
There's the crystal thing that she like talks to, right?
She's got to talk to the crystal on the higher ground, and she's like, "Why isn't there anyone else up here? This is great. We're just like jumping in rainbows and lights."
One of my notes, this is what I was saying with the parrots that are like making out. She's like, "Is that love? Good heavens!" She says that.
They're just making out. That's all they're doing.
Yeah, and then around this time, she says, "My legs don't have any imagination, only the gravity that pushes them down," or something like that. And I was just like, whoa, that's is that a weird translation, or is that like, is that deep as hell? Like, what is that?
I don't know, but I really wish this tree
scene. Why not both?
I wish they cut this tree scene down a bit, because I had no idea what was going on. I didn't understand what she was supposed to be learning through these different stages of weird parrot men that she talks to.
It was just in-betweens for the next song, you know?
Pretty much. until she can get to the higher ground when she's given a crystal. And I love the lines, like, why aren't more people up here in the higher ground, a.k.a. heaven? She's like, the crystal tells her, well, it's basically because people can't be positive all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, is that a message there? You got to, like, balance things? But I don't know. What is this movie trying to tell me?
Yeah. Yeah, there, and then after she leaves and she goes down, that's when she runs into the immigration guy? Is that what's going on here?
The bureaucracy.
And they're like, screw these papers. Just let people in. Whatever. It's basically.
Yeah, she basically just shoves him aside and starts dancing. Like, I got to do a dance. Like, we need bureaucracy. Bureaucracy sucks.
I don't want to fill out any paperwork.
Yeah, she's
to get into hell.
And I love it because it's presented as, like, just a desk that she has to walk around, and then she keeps going.
And that's like in a black void, black theater.
The only thing stopping her is, like, rudeness. Like, well, you know, I don't want to just, like, say, fuck you and walk by this guy. Like, I guess I'll talk to him. But ultimately, that's what she does. Like, fuck your bureaucracy. Shoves his papers in the ground and just walks around. Well, no, she dances around him, I should clarify.
Yeah. She's out. She dances around everywhere, basically.
She's bopping from the left to right. All
you're right. It is basically cheerleader marching, though, the whole point.
And this is when she runs into the first minion with the Barbie doll. Basically, she just dances around him again, and then that's the scene. And then she meets the main guy, the bad guy, and he eventually turns her into, what would you describe her as? She has a totally different look when he like influences her.
She almost becomes the depressed version of herself, the one that like let herself go and is just like in her apartment, you know, watching watching Cheers and eating and stuff like that. All she has going on for.
Are you describing my personal life, Ryan?
Myself too. I don't know. I was just trying to think of like what's just that she was just like the rotten version of herself. You know that she just it was her, right? It was
like, her with like a little bit of like dirt on her face.
Yeah, it was her seeing, you know, herself in the Darth Vader helmet. You know, it was that kind of thing.
Hey, Shusha, what season of Cheers are you on? Oh, I'm still on season 9.
Oh, she was like going into the cave on Dagobah there, you know?
She kind of reminded me of, with like the way they put the makeup on her, she kind of reminded me of Dottie from Pee-wee's Big Adventure, like to bring that up again.
She does look like Dottie. I mean, it's the same time. I mean, I guess Pee-wee's was a few years before this, but yeah. pretty.
But this is the point when the movie, and this happens a lot in fantasy movies, where the character suddenly remembers that they've been given a mystical object by someone. In this case, it's a crystal. Oh, yeah. And it's so weird because the caterpillar is like, use the crystal. She uses it. She like throws it at the guy. It does nothing. And then the kid shows up and the kid's like, Zsa Zsa, use the crystal. Or Zhu Zhu, Zsa, use the crystal. He throws it back at her. And suddenly, like, I have no idea what's going on in this movie. Someone explain this transformation scene to me with the crystal.
Doesn't she like, doesn't it like, she like just like, it's like a beam that comes off and then she's like holding it. Is that right? Like she's, it's like close ups of her like holding the beam up. Is that what's going on?
It appears she throws it at the guy. It doesn't seem to do anything. Then Rafi shows up, throws it back at her, and then she throws it back at the guy again, and then he like disappears. I have no idea what's going on. I think that's what happened. The crystal exchanged hands a few times, but then I guess she imbued it with even more positivity the second time she threw it, and that's what killed the down mood.
I don't know.
He disappears in like a 1970s special effect. It's just really strange.
She defeats him, and then in between this has been stuff going on with like the kid and the dog, like, you know, trying to.
There's a random ass moment the last 15 minutes of this movie where the dog is talking to its fleas.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. And the dog that, gets mad that was at its fleas, fleas, right? Well, that was
like
a whole thing.
They were like pouring fleas on the dog. Remember, they were like trying to.
You know, I know we've used the term fever dream before. I don't know if it's ever applied more than in this movie.
I imagine someone listening to this episode having not watched the movie, just trying to picture these things.
I saw the movie and I'm talking about it and I'm still trying to make sense of what the hell is going on.
I really recommend watching this movie on YouTube. I don't know.
There's almost like a part of me that is nervous because I don't know anything about Brazil culture. Like, is this actually, there's a part of me that is like, is this actually like super messed up? Like, is this like, are they like making references that are going over my head to like awful things? Or probably not. I feel like Xuxa's good, but
well,
I wouldn't
again,
know.
Like, the messages in the movie are so basic.
Right.
And, you
right.
Know, just like,
it's very like Captain
is
Planet.
War is bad. Like, violence is not good. Like, right. Be happy. Bebe, you know?
Be good. Don't be bad.
Well, again, that's the translation. Who
clean
knows,
up graffiti. But, you know, yeah, it seems
yeah,
innocent
it's
enough.
It's so basic. Yeah.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe it is bad.
Clean up the graffiti and the gays. You know, I don't know if it's like going
yeah,
there.
Who knows if they're sprinkling that message in there and we're not aware of it. But but then she basically just like, she's dancing with the kids. There's a bunch of kids that are there. She rescues them and they're dancing again and that's the movie, basically. Oh, we do get sort of a stinger. I don't know if you guys saw this. Uh-uh. At the end, we hear the voice of the down mood saying, I'll be back.
I wonder if there's a sequel.
I don't know. I think I got everything I needed from Xuxa in this one movie. I don't know if I need another one.
Are you going to watch any of the Xuxa like music videos and stuff on YouTube?
I'll watch those, yeah. But the dance choreography is very rudimentary. There's not much to it. It's just like cheerleader bobbing left and right, you know? There's it's not much to it.
It's kind of funny because I'm looking at just kind of like trying to find more like what are people saying about this on the internet, and there's not a lot of stuff that's not like from, because this she has no cultural in like
outside
of Brazil. So like,
yeah,
there's like commercials for like Go Blow Play, which is like a Brazilian streaming service where this is playing on that, you know. There's like another commercial, it looks like an actual old TV commercial for this movie and stuff. And then you see, like, I'm looking, finding like reviews of like the Blu-ray, the DVDs and stuff, and like screenshots, but they're all like Brazilian pages, like blogs and stuff. There's like no one's discovered this movie really out here
outside of Brazil.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
I mean, I wonder if part of it is like because it's in Portuguese, like if this were in Spanish, would it have bigger, like, would it have made its way more to like eventually us here in the States?
Dub it.
Yeah, like yeah. Yeah, surprised there's not a dub.
Yeah. I mean, because, yeah, I was double checking, but Portuguese is, it's basically Brazil and Portugal and some African countries, but it's not in Latin America really other than Brazil. So there is like,
and that's why maybe
if it was Spanish, this thing would have spread. This thing would have gone nuclear. But I think Portuguese may have helped it stay in containment.
That's interesting. Yeah. Because, yeah, I was surprised. It feels like something like stupidly would have found, or like maybe even like one of the channels we watch like does like a rips on it or something like that, or talks about it. Look at this crazy
It is like a, I could imagine Mystery Science Theater doing this. Like it seems definitely in that wheelhouse. I mean, it's not like it's a bad movie,
like a
per
best
se,
of the worst
but
kind of thing, you know, or something.
Yeah, best of the worst. I could see for sure. Did I forget where this was? But it's just one of my notes. And as we're wrapping up, do you remember there was like one song where they kept saying Dragon Ball over and over? Mm-hmm. I just noted that. I was like, Dragon Ball. I was like, that activated me. I was like, what's going on? Why are they saying Dragon Ball?
Someone said it at the top as their opening line, but I thought it was interesting that piss is just piss, apparently,
in
Portuguese.
It was the dog peeing on the the Satan, basically, at the end.
Oh, piss!
Does that mean like piss is like an old Latin word, like a, because Portuguese is a romantic language, so it's like coming from Latin. Is piss like some like really old word, like were they saying piss in ancient Rome?
Piss is said the same and has meant the same thing across all languages, across all time, piss
for thousands of years.
But I thought it was just so funny because you see this. I feel like the subtitle might have come up right before he said it, so I saw the word piss, and then he just says,
no, you're right, Michael. It's vulgar Latin for pisser. I think it's P-I-S-S-I-A-R-E.
So they were saying piss in ancient Rome.
Wow. It says like Middle English from Anglo-French pisse, from vulgar Latin pisser. I don't know, yeah. So it's both from some old French and old Latin.
From the old French of pisseur.
I have a little update on something. Did I close that window? Shit. One second. Hold tight.
Ryan's our guy in the chair.
he's rearranging the rabbit ears on his TV to try to tune into what he was looking at a second ago.
Well, I lost it, the page, but basically I looked up what to deal with vibrating beds. Did they exist?
Update.
Vibrating beds. What's the deal?
Yeah, there's a dude, I think it was in the 50s, invented them. Magic Fingers was the name of that. The guy.
Ew. Ew.
The idea was you put your coin in and it's 15 minutes of a vibrating massage. And the massage was in quotes, you know, that it would give you. And they were all over the place, basically. Until about they started phasing them out in like the late 70s or in the 80s when like they were crapping out. No one wanted to fix them.
Which
and then
explains
why
we never seen one in the wild.
And they started getting known as like sleazy. Like that was like that's a sleazy place that still has that, you know, kind of thing. So I don't think my parents were taking me to like a sleazy.
Those are the places with like the camera in the ceiling that's with the red light looking at you.
Hey, is that a camera in the ceiling?
No, go back to sleep.
But I mean, at the time, though, it was just in a normal motel. Like when, like, you know, people started traveling around the country, basically, in like the 50s and 60s, and people started having cars and going long distances. They were all over the place. So it was a thing for just a good 20 years there. But it started phasing out. Anyway.
Anyone listening, if you've ever been on a vibrating bed, email the show at apocalypsevideopod@gmail.com. Yeah. Let us know what your experience was like. Was it fun?
Yeah, we might need a couple at the shop, you know, in our bunks.
Do you see anything about why it was like phased out? Why, you know, why there is
Were there any reported deaths?
Oh, yeah, maybe like someone's like electrocuted or something. Like they spill water on the bed or something.
Well, okay,
that would be a good final destination.
It's sleazy associations over time became associated with seedy motels, and then also the evolving amenities. It says the rise of other in-room entertainment such as televisions. Basically,
so TV killed the
TV
vibrating
killed
bed star.
The vibrating bed too. Yeah. And also theft, coin theft, I guess, also.
Oh, yeah.
People
start breaking into those things and stealing the coins.
Well, let's get into recommendations. Mike, let's start with you. Would you recommend Super Juja Contra Bajo Astral?
This is tough. I gave it
3 stars on Letterboxd, buddy. And if I enjoyed it by your criteria, that's a positive rating.
It is. I enjoyed it. I'm struggling to think of if I should recommend it. I guess it's short enough. Why not?
If
you're at all interested, do it. If this sounds not like your jam, though, I think it's very much not going to be your jam. So don't watch it. But if you've heard all this and you're intrigued, watch it. And if you're willing to go along for the ride, it is a fun excursion. It's interesting to see some culture, you know.
This is like a, what's that, you know how certain technology is like set up like with modules where like you can add pieces to things to upgrade like a piece of technology? I feel like you could watch this movie in a similar way, because as we said, this movie is like a fever dream. You know, there's not a whole lot of connectivity here. I feel like you can, if you're watching this and you're losing interest, you could skip ahead a scene or two and not really miss much, because it's so just stream of consciousness there. I feel like if you're like, I could skip ahead 10 minutes and not lose anything.
Yeah.
You can turn this hour and 26 minute movie into maybe an hour long movie if you want and still get essentially the same experience.
Well, we talked about like, you know, like Barbarella, where we were like, there's some movies that would play well just like in a bar, you know, kind of thing.
Oh.
The thing is that I think that the songs are interesting, though. I think it's kind of fun. But, like, I think it could be fun just, like, seeing, like, what the hell is that? That's how I felt watching this. It was one of those things where I just, like, caught 20 seconds, and I'm like, I need to figure out what that is.
It would be good at a bar, but maybe a different type of bar than Barbarella.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you thinking?
Like a nerdy retro gaming bar.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking of you know, a place that's a little more like, you would want the music on this. So like Barbarella, I envision like a dank, dark, seedy dive bar kind of thing. And it's black, like playing, maybe there's a band playing while Barbarella's in the background. This, I think more of like, it's lighter. It's a little more like relaxed, and maybe the volume's on to hear kind of quietly, but you know, hear the music and stuff like
that. How many bars have you been to, Mike?
Oh, a lot. A lot of bars, Dave. There's a lot of bars in the place.
You make fun of me for watching Cheers. You're a norm. You've been to a ball.
When have I made fun of you for watching Cheers?
I think
if anything, I have given you guff for not watching enough Cheers.
You've encouraged me to watch.
I think we're more like on your, like, we're like rooting for you. I think that's more of
to get through all.
I'm nervous that your Cheers watch has stalled out. That's where I'm at.
Well, it's because this is inside baseball here, but I've been watching Cheers. I'm on season 9. I'm almost done with it. But you know, when you're watching, I've watched nine seasons. That's like 25 episodes a piece. That's a lot of show.
No,
and at a certain point, you're like, I want to watch anything.
I'm like right at the end of Donkey Kong Bonanza, and I don't want to finish it, so I stopped. You know, and eventually I'll go back to it. You know, you just want to let it's too close to the end, and I don't want to finish it, so.
And plus, Cheers is, I don't know why we're talking about Cheers, but Cheers is just one of those shows you can pick up and watch at any point. You can step in and step out, like, you're not missing a bunch. If you missed a couple episodes, it's okay, like, you know.
But no, we're more like rooting for you. It's like, you know, it's not making fun of. It's like, come on.
I appreciate this positive energy, guys. Like, I could feel the hands of the down mood, like, coming at me, but you pulled me back to the higher ground.
Shusha.
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 Well, I like that we have a tier now in our rating system that's like, would this play in a bar? You're not really watching it, but it's on. And yeah, I guess I would put it in that category as well. I love, this has been happening a lot lately where that rating will come up. Like, you have it on, but you're not really watching it.
Well,
basically.
I think that, I would say this movie for perverts like us out there, they would love this movie, you know.
I enjoyed myself. I mean, like I said, I would have liked it to be a little shorter. I don't think this is something I'm going to watch again. I would recommend it, though, for a one-time watch. And if you want to skip through it, I think feel free. You're not going to miss much.
The only thing that disturbs me, it's just those voices of like those like creepazoids. Yeah. Just like that's the part that's just like, oh, come on. I'm just like, oh, and also like these birds, all of them sound.
It's when the bartender like turns it down and then they turn it back up during the song.
Like,
in fact,
I think the movie.
Just check out a trailer. Then, if there's a trailer for this movie, just watch the trailer.
The movie actually, it just needs more Shusha, to be honest. I think I'm Shusha.
It has nothing but Shusha, practically.
I think it needs more.
Well, you didn't like the dog, so you want less Shusha, more Shusha.
Yeah. Like, almost like every time, like, every time Shusha's not on the screen, everyone's going, where's Shusha?
Where's Shusha? Well, this I didn't know what to expect going into this, Ryan, but I had a good time with this. This was a fun
some
watch.
Bottom like back of the shelf shit, you know, like this is just stuff like no one, you know, every once in a while you need to throw a curveball.
This is like one of those movies you see on the movie shelf where like that we have so many movies on the shelf that we can't like forward face them, so we have to like just seeing the spines
and then you're like,
kind of
like
leafing
this?
Through, like, whoa, what's this? You know, you pull it out, like, whoa, this is a weird cover.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a shock. It's a weird one, but I think just looking at the stills is like some kind of special of it.
I have a question for you guys. Is this the most obscure movie we've watched on this show?
It may be up there because I mean,
it's a good question.
An idea of it's been. Let's see. You can see how many. It's been only liked. 22 times on Letterboxd.
Oh, wow.
So, okay. Oh, here we go. It's been watched 4,088 times. It's been viewed on Letterboxd.
And that's pretty low in terms of Letterboxd.
That's pretty low. So 4,000. So if we can look at other things, we can see the other, but that's up there. That's down there as far as one of the most obscure. I bet you this will be on my stats as the most obscure thing I watch.
Yeah, I think so. Like, the only other really obscure thing I think we've watched on the show, I can think of maybe Lily Cat. We watched a few Halloweens ago, that anime that was an alien thing ripoff, and also our beloved Wuzzles, you know, the Disney Channel cartoon that was only a thing for like a season. That's pretty obscure.
Well, you know what? Lily Cat has been seen about 5,000 more times than on Letterboxd.
Oh, well, there you go. There you have it. We found the more obscure movie.
I'm surprised.
I mean, is this more obscure, though, or is this in the category of just like, it's not our part of the world, you know? Like, is this obscure down there in Brazil?
I think even down there, I think probably, because they'll be like, you remember
that
song?
But you said Shusha's still a thing, though.
Yeah, but like, maybe, I don't know if everyone's like watching the Shusha like movies like this. Like, it reminds me of like, it's like Mary Kate and Ashley shit. Like, I don't know. Like, this is maybe like that level of stuff down there, you know? Where like those.
I mean, this
people
movie
that know
does scream 80s. Like, we have to say, when the movie starts, I'm like, this is the most 80s thing I've ever seen.
I almost want to look at our list and see, like,
which in a way,
I'll say, as of 2023, this film is available in streaming on Globoplay.
Yeah, I was gonna say that was the commercial I found for playing on Globoplay.
Well, we all know the great streaming service Globoplay.
That is like the most generic, like. That's the kind of service, like, in a post-apocalypse, you know, in a dystopian society. Like, oh, I can't wait to watch Super Shusha on Globoplay. The only streaming service.
I'm scrolling through our list to see if there's anything else that's more obscure.
It's this. This has got to take the cake.
I mean, even if it is for our part of the world, it's obscure, you know.
I mean, it was tough for Cody to find Avatar 2.
It was. It took a while, but he found it.
So maybe this and Avatar 2 are the most obscure movies we've seen.
This might actually be a good transition into our next month of programming, you guys.
Whoa!
I mean, it's fitting that we're in the basement, in the sewers where it's dark, because next month we're gonna jump back into our coffins, or I should say, jump out of our coffins. Because when Apocalypse Video returns, it's going to be Shocktober. And this Shocktober is Vamptober.
Uh-oh.
You guys can't see, audience, you can't see it, but our canines are increasing. They're getting longer right now. We're slowly rising out of our podcast studios.
You gotta love.
I want to suck your zhuzha.
I would suck zhuzha, I would say, you know.
Okay, that's it. All right, I'm stopping the recording now. You just had to ruin it, you filthy man.
I can't work with him anymore, Dave.
No one's got this far to the show, to this episode.
Making me